the early parental caregiving is inscribed in the body of the baby, and this contributing to the structure of his mind. And all these primary inscriptions are going to program and to shape not only the brain of the newborn, of the fetus, but also are going to reemerge when this baby will be a parent.
Welcome to the IPA podcast, Psychoanalysis on and off the couch. This is a podcast in which we will discover the world of psychoanalysis that lives beyond the couch, beyond the individual consultation room. We will meet psychoanalysts who work in dialysis units, prenatal clinics, corporate boardrooms, community centers, humanitarian organizations, and with vineyard workers, just to name a few. We hope these conversations expand our awareness of how broadly psychoanalytic thinking extends into our communities. Come listen, enjoy, and please share your comments on the webpage, ipaoffthecouch.org. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Harvey Schwartz. I'm an analyst on the faculty of the Psychoanalytic Association of New York and the Psychoanalytic Center of Philadelphia. My guest today is Dr. Merope Michelelli. Dr. Michelelli is a clinical psychologist and psychoanalyst in Athens, Greece. Dr. Michelelli's practice focuses on the psychoanalytic approach to pregnancy, the perinatal period, infertility, and parent-infant therapy. She studied psychosomatics in Paris. She trained in brief mother-infant psychotherapy in Geneva. And she has become a teacher of teachers, especially for health personnel involved in the perinatal and neonatal period who are faced with infants and families under high psychosocial risk. As you will hear in today's interview, she has a deep appreciation of the importance of early intervention with parents and infants in order to forestall later pathologies, especially the intergenerational transmission of trauma. Here's my interview with Dr. Merope Michelelli. Merope, welcome to our podcast. The more I have learned about your program, the more I realize that what you do actually represents the essence of the theme of this podcast. It's working with your analytic knowledge and wisdom and experience that you learned from the couch and applying it off the couch. You work with large numbers of patients. You work with large and varied staff. And from what I gather, you not only help the patients, but you help the staff feel listened to and also to develop skills that they value in being able to listen to their patients. You know, the work we do on the couch offers a special opportunity to access unconscious material. That intimate dyadic chamber is really a wonderful design to listen deeply to people. It has its own melodies and nuances. But it seems to me, and I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, that what you do also offers access to unconscious material. You work with, as I say, larger numbers of patients and larger numbers of staff who are deeply engaged with each other and have strong feelings for each other. And that, too, gives a type of unconscious material available to emerge. It, too, offers its own melody and nuance. Share with us, if you would, some details about your program and what brought you to it and what it is as an analyst that in particular allows you to do this work.
Thank you so much, Harvey. I feel really grateful for this opportunity you offer me to speak about these very primary interventions that are offered to professionals and to families who wouldn't otherwise be able to access mental health services, where psychoanalytical thinking and understanding is at the very center of their design and implementation. So when we went on this project, we had some ideas in mind, which are the following. The personnel working in the prenatal and postnatal settings, they strive usually for getting control over the patient's body functions, and they usually proceed in medical and nursing practices in emergency without having the time to think about them before. So what I asked myself and my colleagues too were two questions. What can a psychoanalyst contribute to this field? And how this psychoanalytical thinking can be shared with healthcare professionals? So our goal was hopefully double. First, to sensitize these professionals coming from other disciplines than psychoanalysis and to share with them that the way we process information when we work with human beings is to try to think before, during, and after we proceed to an act or to a practice. And our second goal, hopefully, could be to share with them that transition to parenthood is not given, but it is a co-creation involving parents, the newborn, and the fetus, I could even say, and the perinatal team working with them. Hence, to introduce them and share with them another process of thinking and understanding the beginning of biological and mental life.
So you're describing a two-tier system where your analytic approach allows you to listen and pause and process your interventions. You know what's so interesting is that the original, the inaugural podcast to this series was with Virginia Unger. And I ask her, as I ask all interviewees, what is it about being a psychoanalyst, as opposed to other therapists and other clinicians, that offers such a unique opportunity to contribute? And she too said what you did, which is the special way that we are trained and have experience in listening not only to what we think and say, but also the way we listen to what the patient says. And it's so interesting to hear you in your own work with a different population describe the same important variable that you bring as an analyst.
Yes. So focusing on the perinatal period, we had some four main theoretical references in mind. The first is that during the prenatal and the postnatal period, we know that important transformations are taking place on the mother's mental function, and memories repressed until then find their way to consciousness and they become accessible to re-elaboration. This was the first theoretical reference. The second one was that, as we know also, and our dialogue from neuroscience provides us a lot of data, is that during the process of transition to parenthood, the early parental caregiving and the quality of the initial attachment are encoded in the body, in the brain, and the psyche of the embryo and the newborn, contributing to the restructuring.
Let me interrupt you because you said something that caught my ear. You spoke about the neuroscience research about the encoding. Tell us more about that.
Yes. So the neuroscience data, and I lead the seminar here because I'm very, very interested in the primary traumatism. So what our dialogue with neuroscientist colleagues bring us, beginning from Eric Kandel and going to Edelman and going to Alan Shore, what we know is that the early parental caregiving is inscribed in the body of the baby, and this contributing to the structure of his mind. And all these primary inscriptions are going to program and to shape not only the brain of the newborn, of the fetus, but also, and this is the main thing and the main point of our intervention, that this primary and this early experience of parental caregiving are going to be to reemerge when this baby will be a parent. And so when we become parents, as we say, we parent as we have been parented. And all this we have called in psychoanalysis the compulsion for repetition is now explained to us also by the neurosciences. And this is a very precious dialogue we have with our colleagues, that the compulsion for repetition has a biological basis also.
So that really makes your intervention all the more vital, not just for the time period you're doing it, but you're saying it is somatically, physically encoded for the rest of one's life.
Exactly. And so the valuable programs of primary intervention, if they have the aim to interrupt the process of repetition of the transmission of intergenerational trauma, which is going to infiltrate from the very beginning the mother-newborn relationship, then a new model of relationship of relating with the baby has to be offered.
Let me ask you, I'm sorry to be interrupting, but what you're saying is so rich that I want to make sure that both I and our audience really appreciate it. You're talking about to interrupt intergenerational trauma by introducing a, tell me if I have this right, by introducing a new way of relating. And that new way of relating is between the new mother and whom?
And the perinatal frontline health professionals. And here begins the main, let's say, the core of our program is based on the below. So when the parents feel contained and supported during the pregnancy and the birth of the baby, and when they are offered the chance to experience a sense of continuity of their existence by the health, the frontline health professionals, this is a new relationship model. And this relationship model can create an emotional security for both of them, for both professionals and for both parents, and encourage positive parental identifications.
Now, that seems to me, I know from work in the office, on the couch, a very challenging task to really embed the therapeutic analytic experience in the person's psyche so that it can reorganize their relations outside the office. How do you do that with people who themselves are not analysts, who themselves haven't perhaps had that experience in their own analyses and therapies? What enables them to do this?
So let's come to the core of our of our work.
Okay.
If we start from this from a theoretical point of view, we make a training trying to sensitize them to the early signs or indications of maternal or paternal depression, of how we reinforce protective mechanisms against depression from their point of view and from their position, and how they can recognize early signs of repetition of parental pathology in the here and now of their relationship with the parents. But the main thing, I mean, the main mechanism we can establish that is that we try to share with them that in order to create this new shared knowledge and experience, a model of complementarity of all the involved professionals rather of substitution is needed.
A model of complementarity. Could you explain that for me?
Yes, that it's professionals, it's disciplines, object of study and interest. I mean, the object of study of the gynecologist, of the neonatologist, of the midwife, gains a new meaning when it comes in dialogue with the object of study of other specialists, of their colleagues, and of the psychoanalysts, which have the same object of interest, which is, in this period, creating a space to think and to care about the human being to be born, and ultimately the identification with him or her and his or her needs.
Let me make sure I get this, so that you bring the analytic interest in the inner life of the patient, and you share that with the neonatologist, the midwife, the pediatrician, the obstetrician. They have come to you because they too have an interest in learning that. And you're saying that making that the focus of study, in addition to all the other more typical medical interventions that they do, that they welcome that and that reorients them to attend, attach, and attune, if you will, to the patient's affective experience. Do I have that right?
Exactly. Because if the professionals of the perinatal team attain a cohesion in their communication between them, then if this reduces the fragmentation in their roles, in their positions, and their practices, they achieve a decrease of the fragmentation. And consequently, this decrease of fragmentation of confusion leads to a decrease in the way they are going to communicate with parents and with a baby. And then this is the new model of relationship that is transmitted to parents.
So the fragmentation, which is both a technical term and it's also a lay term, so it may be confusing which you mean, but it's I understand you to be saying that it's a form of disorganization, if you will. And correct me if I don't have it right. Disorganization in communication, attitude, and attentiveness. And that's replaced by a cohesion brought by your analytic teaching and attitude towards the staff. How does that work?
Exactly. And when I spoke before about complementarity, it was exactly that there are no good and bad opinions. There are not good and bad professionals. Everything and every opinion is needed in order to understand what is going on, both on the somatic, on the mental level of parents and of the baby, on the fetus, during this period. We need everybody's opinion, everybody's comprehension, in order to have an holistic view of what is going on the body and on the mental, on the beginning of the mental apparatus. This is the decrease in fragmentation.
I see, yes. And the feedback that I was able to learn by reading up on your program is that the staff are very grateful for it, that they really feel that they have access to the patients and to themselves in a new way. Does that match? Am I reading that correctly?
Exactly. So if we are speaking about what professionals attested, they attest that, because of course it is something that is ongoing, that this psychoanalytic understanding of the developing self provides them a holistic view and a holistic understanding of the physical as well as the mental processes in work, as I told you before. But this psychoanalytic understanding constitutes for them a secure base, because they feel more safe in their practices. They feel more safe to speak and to listen to the babies and to their families, to their parents. They feel as they have been offered a common language. They don't feel anymore isolated, alone, frustrated, especially in a period where everywhere in the world, but also in Greece, the coherence is evading, and it is substituted by aggression and violence in our everyday lives. So working together with a common goal around the family, they feel like that, this way, that they belong. I speak always about the professionals, that they belong to a wider network of people.
So there's a group cohesiveness for the professional staff as well.
Exactly. Making them feel safer in their practice and also reducing the burnout.
Yeah, I imagine. Can you describe a clinical situation where you have seen what you just described unfold?
It seems a very, very simple case, but very, very familiar to the perinatal team. It is about a woman in the neonatal intensive care unit who gave birth to a preterm baby of 20 weeks, a very severe prematurity. So this baby had to spend many months in the ward, in the neonatal intensive care unit. Although the unit is an open one, I mean, there are no strict visiting hours, this mother, and I say this mother because the father was not coming so often, she was there from the morning till the other morning and the other morning and the other morning. And she was never leaving the ward. She was always there, asking things, always claiming something, claiming help, not in a paranoid way, but she was asking the personnel donations. So I was speaking about the personnel because they were very concerned about what was happening. They even wanted to call a psychiatrist, and they were thinking that this woman, maybe she was needing to take medication, but maybe something was going wrong in her. And the position I have is of an indirect intervention. I don't intervene very often directly to the couple and to the parents. I try to make my intervention through the health professionals. So in this case, this was not possible anymore, because all the personnel, all the staff was very, very anxious about this woman. So one day I decided to have a real session with her in the hospital, what is not the case very often, because as I told you, I try to work indirectly. So when I tried to understand, of course I didn't ask her directly why she was spending so much time in the hospital, in the unit. I went indirectly to her. And what she told me, without thinking, is that, you know, if I was still pregnant, I would be together with my baby. We would be together. So I cannot be anywhere else than here with her in order to continue this pregnancy. It was like an enlightenment for the personnel.
You enable them to understand her.
Yes, I enable them to understand that for each single parent, staying there or be present or be absent can never have a unique meaning. And they have every time, and we have every time, to try to understand what motivations, what hidden meanings are behind their absence, because some also, they're very criticized because they don't come. They don't come to visit their baby. So this was a very transformative experience for us, this case. This is a very old case. I mean, it is many years before. It was in the beginning of my practice.
And you introduced the staff to a way of listening that settled them down, undoubtedly settled their engagement with the baby down and with the mother down. You've mentioned in our speaking about your personal interest in this area. You've done a great deal of work. You've contributed mightily. You've spoken around the world. You've immersed yourself in this period of time. Can you share with us what brings you here?
So my personal motivation lies on two, I can say, happy, transformative experiences. The first transformative experience for me was giving birth to my first child and becoming mother, and then to the second. But the transformative experience was the first one, of course, because although for me it was a source of happiness and of plenitude, really, I realized that during and being there in the maternity ward that this was not the case for all the women. Even me, being in the beginning of my training and of my interest about the primary experiences, I was fighting in order to have access to very basic maternal needs, like having my baby by me, like being helped, being heard. And what I experienced was that nobody had the time and the energy. They were all very busy. They were all running around. I tried to identify with some friends of mine who were alone, who were experiencing this giving birth as something, as a very lonely experience. And my second transformative experience was meeting with Yvonne Gauthier, our colleague psychoanalyst from Montreal, who was doing a pioneering work in Saint Justine. And I had been trained by him in the beginning during 2 years in Montpellier in France. And then we collaborated and we established together a very innovative project, which was called Birth and Future. And Yvonne helped me really and initiated me to this way of thinking, to this way of interdisciplinary collaboration, of transmitting our psychoanalytic knowledge in the perinatal way of doing.
Uh-huh, sure. It's so interesting to hear what you say because, of course, again, typical analysis on the couch. We spend a great deal of, if you will, of our intellectual treasure theorizing about early development. And it's important that we do so for ourselves to have theories and also to alert us to new ways of thinking about early development. But of course, it's theory. What you're doing is really engaging large numbers of people in a real-time moment with powerful abilities to impact, as we are learning, both the mothers, the staff, and as you say, the children as they have futures and replay their early histories.
Exactly. And what I think contribution through this project to our colleagues, they become familiar with what we are familiar as psychoanalysts from the beginning of our training, that they are known in our body and in our mental function. Yes, that they are known is manifested to us only through the process of these transformations, that we can never control neither our mental functions nor our body function. And that behind and fertility, the good state of health of a newborn, the a sick newborn, there are mechanisms, psychic mechanisms underlying all these states and all this situation. This new knowledge for our perinatal professionals is directly questioning their fantasies of omnipotence. This new knowledge that we can approach the unknown only through its transformations. So this new knowledge, little by little, they become familiar with. It is something very, very, very transformative for them.
You know, listening to you, what comes to my mind is listening to the other analysts around the world who are doing work off the couch. And we're just beginning this podcast journey, but there's a theme emerging, it seems to me. And the theme is what we analysts can bring to the various venues is the experience of being known. And all of us humans want to be known, even if we at times fight being known for the tendernesses and the affects that it brings up from our pasts. But the wish to be known is so vital, and you're applying it in a very particular venue with the staff, with this period of transformation around the perinatal period, and with the intent of offering the experience of knowing and being known as an intervention to change the future, to change their intergenerational transmission of trauma. It's a very lovely experience and very vital. I expect many of our listeners aren't familiar with the state of medical affairs or psychoanalysis, for that matter, in Greece. Can you give us a view of what things are like and how this fits in with the overall medical care system?
Unfortunately, so far, the perinatal care in the public sector in Greece is non-existent or is very basic. Our project and our efforts, which is being done under the Hellenic Society for Infant Mental Health, who is an affiliate of the World Association for Infant Mental Health, I can tell you, always remaining humble, that it is the only systematic and psychoanalytic way of approaching the perinatal period and the perinatal primary interventions.
You're saying in the whole country, this is the one method of intervention
of psychoanalytic intervention, and also the only context where we provide comprehensive services to subfertile couples, to mothers suffering from postnatal depression, or to parents whose baby is born prematurely. Of course, there are private some psychologists here and now, here and there, but there is no systematic training. All the efforts being done are done through the Hellenic Society for Infant Mental Health.
And how is this funded?
How is it funded? We as professionals, we give from our personal time.
I see. So it's volunteers?
It is volunteer, yes. And now, and yesterday, I had a meeting in the Ministry of Health where we try to implement a service providing primary prevention for pregnant women and parents with babies.
It sounds really like a wonderful gift you're bringing to the mothers and to the staff and to future generations whose early lives are being impacted by these primary interventions. Merope, thank you so much for sharing this with us. We will include on the liner notes more details about the program, the articles you recommend, and perhaps if you can share with us websites that interested listeners can tune into, we can include that as well.
Of course. Thank you, too, Harvey. It was a great pleasure for me speaking about all this work. And thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. If I may, I'd like to ask you to help us publicize our podcast by rating us on iTunes or simply sharing it with a friend. You can also visit our webpage, ipaoffthecouch.org, where you can both subscribe and also add your comments. I'd also like to acknowledge the lovely rendition of Beethoven's Opus 18th String Quartet by the Allegri String Quartet on the Vivat label.